And now we're going to spend the rest of this program talking about black gospel music, about how it's disappearing, and about efforts to save its musical legacy.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
Few hymns evoke a message of hope and faith like this traditional gospel song, Take My Hand, Precious Lord. It was written in 1932 by the late Thomas Dorsey, and its melody and lyrics unified black communities during the civil rights movement when it was a favorite of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Precious Lord turned 75 last month and has been referred to as the greatest gospel song of all time. But like much of traditional gospel, this song is in danger of disappearing. Is gospel music a tradition in your family? And what are you doing to keep the tradition alive? What do you know about the influence of gospel music? Give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Robert Darden is Associate Professor of Journalism at Baylor University. He is the author of People Get Ready, A New History of Black Gospel Music. Most recently, he launched a project to preserve and digitize early gospel music in conjunction with Baylor University. Robert Darden joins us now from member station KWBU in Waco, Texas. And Professor Darden, great to have you on the program.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
Now, you write that as much as 3/4 of all gospel music released between 1945 and 1970 is simply unavailable. It's just not there. Why not?
A lot of reasons, all of them bad. First off, this was a music that was of a minority population to begin with. We weren't talking about, other than Mahalia Jackson, many of the best-known releases selling that many total copies. We're not talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands very often. We're talking about a population that loved this music, continued to play these fragile old 78s till they were as slick as glass. And then we're talking about, as through the civil rights movement moves on and some people think they want to leave all this behind, not treasuring or valuing this music. So it goes up in attics and garage sales. And finally, we have a record CD industry that just doesn't give a damn. This is not music that's going to make a lot of money for them, they don't think. So why should they reissue it when they have it?
And why is it so? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you could cite chapter and verse to this question, but why is it important to keep this music alive?
Well, this is the heart of all American music. All music, the blues, jazz, rock, rap, everything comes from the spirituals, and the spiritual is just the latest incarnation of all of those music. I mean, the gospel is. And from gospel comes all later American music. That's just the source of it. And if you go without it and you lose that root, you lose why we got to where we are in the first place, both musically and historically.
So tell us about the Black Gospel Music Restoration Project, what it's trying to do, and how it began.
Well, it began with the book, People Get Ready. And after I had finished the research on the book, which took me years, I was so frustrated because I had written about these incredible songs, which I thought I could find and listen to, and 3/4 of the time I couldn't, neither through collectors or any kind of availability in any format, CD, LP, 78. So I wrote an editorial for the New York Times that ran a couple years ago, and my phones and email were just swamped the next day. And one of the people that responded to my email saying that if we lose this recorded legacy, future generations are going to think it was a sin. And a gentleman named Charles Royce of New York City, an investment man in the investment, said, what can we do to save this? So we researched it and came up with a project which he has funded entirely with the auspices of Baylor University to track down, identify, clean, digitize, and return, if necessary, the original, at least one copy of every black gospel song ever released. Hmm. And it's been extraordinarily difficult.
Hmm. And how many songs have you managed to preserve so far?
Well, we have in hand about 1,000, maybe another 1,000 that are in the pipeline coming to us. And I wish I could tell you what percentage of all gospel songs that is, but the straight answer is nobody knows.
Hmm.
Bob Lawton released a new version of the Black Gospel Handbook, which lists all of the bibliography, all the known gospel songs, and the known labels, and the known artists. We got that last month. But in the first two boxes that we opened up of rare 45s from Bob Maravich in Chicago, about half of the songs and the 45s he sent us were not listed in Lawton's book. And it's considered the Bible of the industry.
Interesting. We're talking to Robert Darden. He's Associate Professor of Journalism at Baylor University and author of People Get Ready, A New History of Black Gospel Music. We're talking to him about efforts to preserve gospel music. You can join the conversation, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. What do you know about gospel music and efforts to preserve it? How do you what do you know about the influence of gospel music? Let's go to James, who's calling from Harkesburg, West Virginia. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
That's Parkersburg.
Sorry.
But two thoughts come to mind. One is that modern churches, and it doesn't much matter what kind of church you go to, they're using pipe music, using pre-recorded soundtracks. They don't have pianists or organists, so they're kind of relying on this piped-in music. The second thing is the mainstream is just kind of assimilating gospel music or has assimilated gospel music the same way they have jazz and the blues to some degree. And they've taken, in my opinion, the more superficial elements and embraced them, and they've tossed out everything else. And folks don't know anything about this music now because they're not being presented with any kind of depth at all.
Interesting. Robert Darden, what do you think about what James says?
No, that's certainly true. Some of the new gospel artists, and there's some wonderful ones out there, Kirk Franklin, Yolanda Adams, Donnie McClurkin, are doing music that's probably closer to what's on the radio right now. But I'm not worried about them. They sold 1 million units each. We're talking about the stuff from the great Blind Boys of Mississippi, Sensational Nightingales, Clara Ward, the stuff that they listened to when they grew up to get where they are today.
Hmm. James, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Linda, who's calling from Northern Kentucky. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a Caucasian, and I have been a part of a black gospel choir, enjoyed that immensely. Also have found that black gospel music has sustained me and my family through terribly difficult times. In particular, I have an album of black men in a penitentiary in Ohio, mm-hmm. I believe it was mm-hmm. Lebanon Correctional Institute, who performed black gospel music and got me through a terrible time with my husband's mental illness at one point.
Hmm.
I just hope we find a way to save this music because it's worth much more than just to the black community. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
If you will send us to my Robert Darden, care of Baylor University, we will clean that up, make a digital copy of it, and send it back to you on a CD if you would like, just so we could have the music from that precious piece of vinyl.
All right. Let's go to Rick, who's calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Rick. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, I'll say I'm a lily white boy from Milwaukee and not very religious, but one of the most exhilarating experiences of my life when I used to work as a recording engineer and producer was when I recorded the University of Wisconsin Black Gospel Choir.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a church that was an acoustic, well, I'd be tempted to say hellhole, but that wouldn't be very appropriate for a church. But
it's
it was
okay.
A great experience. Also, I wanted to bring up, in terms of the influence of black gospel music on American culture in general, we can't forget Aretha Franklin, who
mm-hmm.
learned music in church. Her father, mm-hmm. I believe his name was the Reverend C.L. Franklin, was the
That's
pastor
right.
of a church in Detroit.
Hmm.
Yeah, a great many of the soul and R&B artists came out of the church. And when you listen to a Wilson Pickett or when you listen to Aretha, you're hearing church music on this from Sunday morning played on Saturday night. And the other thing I might add is that, yeah, black or white, it doesn't really matter. When I've talked about this music on radio shows to try to promote this project and they played just snippets of the songs, the lights light up. Everybody wants to talk about how black music, particularly gospel music, changed them, how it's not like anything else that's out there because it comes from such a wellspring of pain and it has a good beat.
Rick, thanks so much for the call. You know, speaking of great modern musicians influenced by gospel, Ray Charles comes to mind. And there was a wonderful scene in the movie Ray where some of his band members storm off the stage outraged. I'm assuming this was based on real history. That is, there were people who thought it was sacrilegious to take this music and use it in this sort of secular context.
Well,
did that happen a lot?
There's things like that have happened, and there have been churches that have put out black gospel artists because they've had too much of a beat. But Ray Charles' biggest hits came directly from black gospel songs, which he, I assume, paid royalties to, just by changing Lord to She. You can't deny the emotion and the power of them. And I like to happen to like it when it's aimed at the Lord. But gosh, Saturday night, there's nothing better to listen to.
800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. We're talking to Robert Darden about efforts to preserve black gospel music, and you can join the conversation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go to Courtney, who's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Courtney.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Actually, I just wanted to make the comment that I've been singing gospel, like the old spiritual hymns and everything, since I was about 4 years old. Me, my brothers and sisters, and my mom used to have a traveling singing group when I was growing up in Indiana. And the reason that we were able to book so many venues is because people were so surprised that such young children could have the old harmonic sound that they mm-hmm. were accustomed to down south, with the where the most of the gospel originated from. Mm-hmm. And so I think that a lot of the ways that we could preserve it is to still have more people out there actually singing it. And I think one gentleman mentioned that earlier, where you have a lot of the churches that are going away from the old spirituals for whatever reason and getting more into these poppy pre-printed songs and pre-recorded songs. And I think that if we sing them more, that there will be more of a reason to preserve them.
Good.
Could well be.
Good point. Go ahead, Robert.
Sam Cooke started with a gospel group of children, the kids in his father's church, just his family members, the singing children. And they went all over the Midwest singing gospel music before he ever got into pop music.
Well, thanks, Courtney, for that call. Let's go to Carrie, who's calling from Salyer, California. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hey.
Hi. I currently have a gospel radio show on our local public radio station.
Wonderful.
And that's KHSU out of Arcata, California.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with 1 hour, and it was broadcast from 5 to 6 a.m. But recently they moved me to another day and were able to give me 2 hours. So I do,
great.
I do as much as I can, and I play the great variety of the gospel music. I don't just stay with one genre.
Mm-hmm.
I go, and I don't care if it's scratchy. I mean, I feel bad about it, but that's, you know, if I've got it, I'll play it. And from my own perspective, it's the only thing I've ever found that, like you said, it comes from the wellspring of pain. It's the only thing I have found that can get right in and change me. I can't speak for anybody else, but that's the emphasis I give to my show, is that, you know, it can be a source of comfort with the music and the spirit, and also there's no holding back with that
mm-hmm.
kind of music.
Oh, absolutely.
Carrie, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for what you do out there.
One more thing I wanted to say.
Sure.
I also sing in an interfaith gospel choir, and there's a number of those that are cropping up, that, you know, that people who want to sing that music and come from a variety of faiths.
All right, Carrie, thanks
sure.
for the call.
Sure.
Well, speaking, Robert Darden, of people being captivated by this music, when did it first grab you? I mean, what sort of got you to fall in love with it?
My father was in the U.S. Air Force, which, as you may know, was integrated before the rest of the United States, much less the rest of the military when it was formed. So I was around African-American kids since I was a little boy. And my parents apparently were, too, because when my father got promoted to lieutenant, he got a raise, and he went out and bought our first little hi-fi in three LPs, I think at $2.95 each, and one of them was Mahalia Jackson. And that put me about age 5 or 6, and for the rest of my life, I've been trying to recreate the thrill that I had when I first heard that great, big, brown, brassy voice pop off the little tiny, tinny speakers of that little hi-fi.
Well, let's end I think that's a great place to end the show, and let's recreate what you were just talking about. We want to go out with Mahalia Jackson doing Precious Lord. And Robert Darden, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate it. Robert Darden is an associate professor of journalism at Baylor University and the author of People Get Ready, A New History of Black Gospel Music. He joined us from member station KWBU in Waco, Texas. And again, Robert Darden, thanks for coming in. So we're going to leave you with Mahalia Jackson and her version of Precious Lord. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And leave me home. my way. Grows dream. Take my